This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us on the day after Thanksgiving and with us to talk about the world that we know in Baton Rouge, the world being Tiger Stadium in Death Valley, is Chad Seyfried. Dr. Seyfried's been at the Old War School for 10 years. He works at the Huey Long Building, and he has become one of the foremost, if not the foremost, authority on the long and storied history of Tiger Stadium. 877-217-5757. And Chad Seyfried, good to visit with you.
Thank you.
You've been following the path of Tiger Stadium. It began in 1924.
That's correct.
There aren't many people alive who were around in 1924 and would remember Tiger Stadium in its genesis.
Yes, it opened actually before campus opened in 1925, so it had relocated from downtown.
Says something, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, in 1931, I think dormitories were built, right?
That's correct.
And the governor at that time was Huey Long.
Yeah, yeah. Huey was very much interested in growing the popularity of the football program. During that era in American history, you'd see a lot of universities utilizing football as a promotional tool for their institution, primarily to increase enrollments, develop alumni relationships, and potentially, in this case, much like many others, increase revenues. So Huey thinking about this as a process or a project that he could use to help LSU, but also namely himself as well. I mean, we're not going to be naive about that either. Thought it would be a great idea to think about ways we could extend the football stadium.
And he loved him some LSU football.
He did, he did. And there were people that were calling for him at this time, too. I mean, it was not unusual for the newspapers to have editorials like asking for Huey to kind of wade in the football issues.
Well, there are distinctive aspects of Tiger Stadium, and of course, the dormitories are the most distinct aspect that is in variance from other places. Those dorm rooms, of which I lived in one. In fact, when I was in school, the radio station and the newspaper were located in Tiger Stadium, too. They're largely just empty vessels now.
Yeah, that's correct. Mostly for storage at the university. It would take a considerable amount of money to try to overhaul those to bring them up to code, so to speak, for other uses.
Well, they do it with other buildings, but right now there's flooding in the library, so it would take a massive undertaking, but if anything would rally the populace, it probably would be Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think we all would argue that or agree that the building's in pretty good shape right now as far as fans go.
Yeah. Well, what prompted Huey to come up with his dormitory idea, and was it his idea?
Well, not initially. A gentleman named Thomas Skipper Hurd, who was the
AD,
graduate manager of athletics is how they would have had that label at the time, was well aware that the university had a pool of money available for residence halls. And so it was on his initiative, he approached the president at the time about, hey, you might want to think about this dorm and a stadium idea. And then once Huey found out about it, he used his political leverage to say, hey, I've done a lot for you. I could do a lot more. I think you ought to do this. Because prior to that, Huey had tried to do some taxes, and they got voted down in the legislature to help expand the stadium. So this was a good way to use money that was already available.
Well, it's a stadium that, of course, may be the most pronounced place in the state of Louisiana. I think even more so than the Superdome is Tiger Stadium, and the capacity certainly exceeds the Superdome by a good margin. Over 100,000 patrons, but when it was built, how many were, what was the seating then?
About 18,000, amazingly, if you think about how much it's grown since then, about 18,000.
And when I was a freshman in 1977, the capacity was 67,000.
Right.
And now it's 102,000. Can it grow some more? Can they expand another time?
There actually has been discussion about potentially adding on another addition to the north end zone, but that would also take some considerable reconstruction. You know, as far as like the road out front there, there's still issues about what do you do with service roads potentially to help the PMAC, because that's the road right now that, you know, trucks come in and out of there. So, but yeah, there's talk about a potential north end zone corridor, if you will.
Now, some stadiums like Rice and Stanford, they have actually downsized. And you've studied stadiums all over the country. And LSU and Tiger Stadium was built in 1924. On the East Coast, there were already a lot of concrete and steel edifices, weren't there?
Yeah, that's correct. It starts with Harvard Stadium in 1903, and then you kind of get – it diffuses out to other eastern colleges, Syracuse, Yale, and then eventually down to the South. So the South's a little bit behind in football. Mm-hmm. Really the pillars of Southern football at that time probably would have been Georgia Tech, to a lesser degree Alabama. Mm-hmm. But then certainly LSU is somebody who's like, hey, you know, what about us down here too? So the stadium wave really starts a little bit later in the 20s, but LSU is one of the first schools to really jump in as far as Southern schools go.
Well, I think now in the Southeastern Conference, all 14 schools have stadiums over 70,000, and there are a number over 100,000. LSU is certainly not the biggest stadium in the conference.
No, not at all. And but, you know, not far behind, though, as far as, like, what other people are doing in the conference.
They'll be at a 100,000-seat arena this weekend, tomorrow.
Yeah, they will.
Where they're three-point underdogs, by the way.
Yeah, so I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, but now you've got to keep up with the Joneses, and LSU has a 100,000-seat stadium, and you can bet Tennessee has the biggest, I think, still in the Southeastern Conference.
Yes, they do. But they're also one of those schools, as you mentioned earlier, looking to decrease in size now with some of the renovations.
Well, they've had a succession of disappointing seasons, and
they have.
It is amazing that the suites, the first ones, opened at LSU, I think, in 2000. And that was on the heels of 8 losing seasons in 11 years. So Joe Dean, who hired Curly Hallman and took a lot of heat for it, and for good reason, and survived that and hired Mike Archer. Well, actually, he didn't hire Archer. Archer came before him. But he inherited Archer. And he hired Jerry DiNardo, who had 3 good seasons and 2 very bad ones. And then, boom, he hires Nick Saban. And that was a game changer.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you think about collectively for LSU football and then athletics overall, you know, several innovations, if you will, he's brought to campus, such as the Academic Center mm-hmm. for Student Athletes, upgrading the mm-hmm. operations building and such. And then obviously that paid off into getting better recruiting classes and certainly a better product on the field.
The other day I walked by the Academic Center for Athletes and I saw only one LSU administrator on there as a contributor. There's no president, no chancellor, no other coaches. Skip Bertman's name's not on there. But there was Nick and Terry Saban. He actually wrote a check, probably a very big check, I would guess in around $100,000 range, put his money where his mouth was.
Oh, absolutely. I think he, like so many coaches today, but again, he a little bit ahead of some others, saw the value in a building like that, not only for his own players, but also collectively for other student athletes on campus.
And his successors have benefited from it. Certainly Les Miles did, and never gave Saban any credit for it.
Yeah, and I think that may be a little bit unfortunate, that the notion that you could centralize services like that to the student athletes and then also help specialize a service, you know, for a particular audience that, you know, has different kind of expectations on campus than a normal student. I think that's a real good benefit and something that Coach Saban should be recognized for.
Well, we're visiting with Chad Seifried, who is a professor of sport management at LSU, 10 years, and you've written about this.
Yes, sir. Many actually LSU sports on campus, the boxing program, different facilities
on campus.
Yeah, boxing
was once the biggest sport on campus.
It was. In the 1930s, 1940s, LSU was a boxing powerhouse in the Deep South, had won national championships at individual weight classes, but also as team titles once or twice.
And you're next door to the Academic Center for Athletes, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in the Huey P. Long Fieldhouse.
How's that swimming pool going?
It's pretty empty. It's been empty for a
while. Isn't that a tragedy?
It is, I think.
They spent $85 million on a rec center.
Right.
And couldn't come up with a few million to refurbish the Huey Long swimming pool.
Well, I think part of the idea was there wasn't as much interest in that at the university level. It's fairly expensive to maintain swimming pools on campus, particularly multiple ones. They did invest in a considerable amount of money, like you said, into the rec center, to try to draw the student population out there.
I'll say. $85
million. $85 million is pretty hefty. And a lot of student fees going towards that, too. So
The students who were there voted for fees that other students
are going to have to pay off
later.
Yeah.
They're still paying. Now, a listener asks about the WPA money. The legend has it that Huey Long used that, but, of course, he was in a battle with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. How did that work?
So LSU had applied for WPA money like many institutions at that time. They had some money initially promised to them, but then that got rescinded because the Roosevelt administration didn't get along with the Long administration. And obviously, Huey was testing the waters for a potential presidential run at that time. So it makes some sense on that, that surface area. But later on, what you see is they kind of say they don't trust Huey to make good decisions with WPA money, essentially. So they don't want to give it to him. And then once Huey, is assassinated, a year later, LSU has money.
Really?
Just out of thin
FDR
air.
FDR might have been subject to politics? Imagine that.
Oh, I can't imagine that at all.
So LSU suddenly gets the money that they wanted after Huey Long is killed.
Yeah, less than a year later they got that.
And how substantial was it?
It was fairly substantial, and basically it's the whole North End Zone expansion effort to make it into the largest horseshoe facility in the country, or in the South. So the largest facility in the South was Tiger Stadium one time through the North End Zone expansion effort. And the WPA was responsible for about 55% of that money and about the same amount for as far as like workforce goes, labor hours and such.
Well, we'll bring Chad Seifried back. He's an expert on the Old War School and how it became what it is today. And it is a spectacular place, despite the fact that some buildings are in great disrepair. Have a great weekend. We're back Monday. Until then, for Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. Stay tuned.